Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Pesa Shio, and I'm Whitney Shio's husband.
And welcome back to the place where we believe that every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling, as well as long-lasting.
Yes, every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling, and we're here to help you in this marriage journey. So just to help you so that you can be able to make sense of this thing that we call marriage and also to have a great time in marriage.
Absolutely. And there's not always a right or a wrong way to marriage.
There's no right or wrong way?
There's not always an exact right way or a wrong way to go about it. But, you know, it's nice to hear tips from couples who have gone through it. We've been together for 13 years and we have 4 children. So we just like to offer encouragement to anyone out there who might be, you know, feeling, you know, how tough it can be sometimes. But we also think that there's no problem that's too big for your marriage. I think everything is solvable. So what do you think?
Yes, I think everything is solvable. And if you come to marriage when you're thinking in terms of we are a couple and we are on the same team, so we are fighting to keep the marriage together, not to stay apart.
Right. So above all else, your friends.
Yes, above all else, your friends. And above all else, you got into this marriage to stay together, not to fight or to split.
Not to be miserable.
Yes. Yes.
That's awesome.
So what are we talking about
today?
So
today I wanted to explore the idea of our strengths being our weaknesses.
What, our strength being weaknesses?
Right. So you can view it as, you know, some of our greatest strengths could also be our greatest weaknesses. And I just wanted to let you know that the goal is to not only identify what your strengths are, but understand how we can use those strengths and take advantage of them and then downplay the weaknesses.
And the way I look at it is our strength have the other side. Like I look at it in terms of a coin. There is the heads and the tail.
Right.
So the strength and the weakness are the same, are two sides of the same coin. Your strength and your weakness are two sides of the same coin.
Absolutely. And if you're wondering, how does this apply to marriage? Let me give you an example. A spouse that is detail-oriented, that is a wonderful strength. They pay attention to every little thing that's going on. But the problem is...
You mean they're being nitpicky?
That's a huge... That can be a problem because the person they're married to might perceive that as they're just nitpicky.
Yes.
And they are just, oh my gosh, like down to the last detail. They're obsessed.
So when does it stop being obsessed with details to being nitpicky?
Well, it's the thing is, our reality is what we perceive it to be, you know? So the person who owns the strength might just think, hey, you know what? I am really good with keeping track of stuff, but... Again, the person they're married to might be perceiving that as, oh my gosh, why do they like to micromanage? What's up with all these tiny little details all the time?
Yeah.
It's driving me crazy.
Yes.
So that's when it becomes an issue. But it doesn't have to be. If we can identify what the strengths are, what the weakness is, and then take advantage of it in a way that it helps us get along better in our marriage and could even help us run our households more efficiently.
Much better, yes.
Yeah.
And can you give me another strength?
So another strength could be, let's say if someone is really cautious.
So you mean somebody is unwilling to take risks?
And well, that I guess that would be the downside of it. But someone who's cautious could be a person who is just really careful in their decision-making.
Yeah.
But as you said, I mean, again, if the person they're married to or the people they work with are taking that as someone who is just paralyzed by fear or, you know.
Unwilling to take risks.
Yeah, so if they're not a risk taker.
Yeah.
Then how can we how can we zoom in on the positive side of that?
And again, I go back to the concept of these two things are the same, are the two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're cautious. Yes, you're careful. You're conscientious and you're a very nice person. But at the same time, you can be very unwilling to take risks and also become very paralyzed by the fear of failure. So you also have to know when this is becoming your greatest strength. Now it's becoming your Achilles heel. It's becoming your greatest weakness.
So maybe a possibility could be that when you start to notice a strength is overused, then that might be causing problems on the weakness side of it.
Yeah.
So for example, if someone is, you know, very eager to please.
Okay.
They're pretty laid back. They're easy to get along with. If that goes overboard to a point where, you know, they start to rely on other people to help guide them through decisions, or if they let other people overpower them.
Yeah.
And make decisions for them or convince them to do things that might not even be something that they want to do in the first place, then I would definitely say that you could begin to see a clear line between that. If so, that's when the strength is overused.
Yes. And there's something that I have a strength with, which is being imaginative, always creative and thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's a great strength because I'm brings so much creativity and always trying to think outside the box to solve problem in the unconventional way. But somebody else might think, dude, you're being eccentric. This is so impractical. It's not going to work. Why are you wasting your time?
Oh, okay. So someone could just perceive you as being a dreamer who's not serious then.
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like, be realistic, bro. What you're planning, what you're talking about right now, it's impractical. And so, most of the time it is impractical.
So for a spouse, they might be like, okay, here we go again. Here's another pie in the sky.
Another dream.
Oh my gosh.
I might be thinking, oh my God, we can solve this. We can we can use creativity to actually figure this thing out.
Right.
But the spouse, especially if the spouse is very cautious, who's very careful, conscientious, but very unwilling to take risks. A strength, my strength of being imaginative and creativity and being creative.
So being more daring.
Being more daring might be
really scary to the other person. Scary to the
spouse. And as the other spouse, as the spouse is trying to pound on you that, hey, you need to quit taking risks. To you, it's like they're going against your strength, which is think outside the box and be
like,
more creative.
So it could be taken that they're stifling the creativity
And that becomes crazy when you are trying to live with somebody who has the opposite of your strength. Being mature enough, I want to call it mature because the whole world cannot be filled with people who just have your strength.
Who think exactly who the way think you do.
So we need each other.
Right.
Yeah, the person who is imaginative and taking a lot of risks needs the person who doesn't take a bunch of risks to slow them down a little bit so they can slow down and actually see, does this, will this work? Or somebody to make sure all the loose ends are buttoned up.
Right. You'd have chaos.
Yeah.
Right, and that's a really good point. I'm so glad that you brought up that idea of how married couples can all have a mixture of these different personality types and just different characteristics. And so if we're able to be self-aware and know, you know, what our preferences are, because you might just view it as a preference. You might be like, you know, I just like to stay organized.
Yes.
But my spouse over here is a mess maker.
Yes.
You know, so It's but the other spouse might be thinking, you know, oh my gosh, loosen up. There's nothing wrong with, you know, a couple of socks on the floor over here. There's nothing wrong with leaving the milk out or whatever, you know, those little things that happen. And
and sometimes actually two strengths can actually complement each other. Mm-hmm. And also, if you have the same strength in the marriage, let's say two people in the marriage are both bold, mm-hmm. That's a recipe for butting heads because none of them will want to give up. Mm-hmm. But if you have one bold and one who's dutiful, uh-huh. one who's willing to please, uh-huh. it doesn't sound right, but they mm-hmm. can really work well.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, like, if a couple, if both husband and wife are very bold and both of them are ambitious, mm-hmm. that's their greatest strength.
Yes.
But their greatest weakness then could be that it could be viewed as they're self-absorbed.
Yes.
Or they're arrogant.
Yes.
So what I want to encourage is for all of us to remember that each person, each of us, are a mixture of good and bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we just pretty much explored that with all these different, you know, personality types. And one thing I've seen when couples are not happy with one another, it leads to this belief that the spouse is all bad and no good.
Okay.
So that's what I want to keep in mind.
I thought
here is
when things are great, the spouse is all good.
That can happen too.
So
you can be, yeah, it can go from one extreme to the other. And I think it's a good idea to just try to be able to see the good in others.
Yes, to see the good in others, but at the same time being more realistic and saying, you know what, they are not all good, but at the same time, that's great because that means they're not all bad.
Right, absolutely. And so, you know, if we're able to see the good in others and then at the same time be able to recognize that we also have weaknesses, you know, I also am not perfect. I have
you
my
are
own.
Not?
I have my own set of flaws here. So, you know, you can view it as, oh, well, you know, there's more good than bad. I mean, it's however you want to look at it. Whatever helps you to, you know, just be able to emphasize the strengths and the good things.
You know, there's a strength which when somebody is very cautious, that will make them very, very careful and conscientious. Mm-hmm. Now, if that person is also married to somebody who's skeptical, mm-hmm. how is that going to work out?
So skeptical, then
they don't believe in it. They don't. They are very skeptical, and they might even be cynical sometimes.
Well, I would just say that maybe both of them would be really, really good at navigating through situations. Then it sounds like both of them would be able to take the time to sit and think and strategize,
and they wouldn't be taken advantage of.
Right. You could look at it that way. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they could get a reputation for being cynical or for being negative or, you know, I mean, there's always a name for everything. There's always, you know, but yeah, definitely. It's just however you want to look at it. And I think that is one of the most important parts is it what's perceived, what someone views you as. You know, you might just be thinking, you know what, I am just a really strong, independent person.
Yes.
But if other people view that as, you know, you don't really care about anyone else's feelings. You just care about yourself. Or you just seem detached. Like, you don't really, you're not really in the struggle with the rest of the group or whatever. You know, you're just, it's the reputation that forms that can be harmful.
And also another funny thing is the person who might even be talking like, oh, you don't have the feeling for the group, they might be themselves be very cautious or very reserved or have some sort of a personality that actually makes them see how that person is acting like they are not very emotionally connected, they are not. While somebody else might totally not even see that and be mm-hmm. concerned with, he's such a great leader. He says what he means and he goes out there and conquers the world.
Right, right. And you know, it's kind of funny sometimes because when you meet someone who appears to be very charming mm-hmm. and friendly, you might also at some point get the feeling that they're manipulative.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because I gave a speech last week. And this executive came up to me after the speech and he said, "Oh, that was wonderful. You did a great job. You're just a natural. It was flowing very well." And I said, "Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, sir." But this guy also happens to be a very, very, I don't know how to say it. He's a salesman who is very relentless.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought about it later and I was like, you know, did he really mean what he said
mm-hmm.
when he said that he enjoyed my talk, my
yeah.
speech?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's also been trying to sell me something recently.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't figure it out. I wasn't sure if he was just giving me a compliment to make me feel like I want to buy from him.
Okay.
I don't know. So that can be a huge, huge issue, I think.
And do you think it's an issue because of your personality, or it's an issue, or it doesn't really matter about the personality because what you perceive is what we gotta just go with?
I don't know. I think that becomes the challenge when you try to figure out, okay, is this just something that I'm assuming? Or is this a real problem that's going on?
That everybody in the world will also see there's a problem here.
Right. But also that might not be the best way to look at it either. Because again, if someone has developed a reputation
mm-hmm.
for being a certain way, deep down they might not really be that way.
And then
it's
also,
just people perceive them to be like that.
And then just being the devil's advocate here is... why does it really matter what he thinks about your presentation? Does that say something about you, or
mm-hmm.
does it say something about him?
Well, I don't know. I guess I can't speak for him. But for me, what I'm really, public speaking is something that I've been trying to learn. I mean, for the last couple of years, I've been volunteering in a nonprofit organization, as you know, Toastmasters. I really want to learn to be a good public speaker. So when someone gives me feedback, I would really like their honest opinion.
And
I mean, that's pretty much.
And do you think, what if he gave you his honest opinion, which is you did a good job? Why does that bother you?
The honest opinion doesn't bother me. I was saying, like, well, what if he's being manipulative? What if he's
mm-hmm.
just trying to butter me up so mm-hmm. that later I'll buy this thing that he wants me to buy?
And
that's where I was coming from.
And now the question is, why does that bother you? Is it because maybe you are cautious? You have that personality type that you become very cautious?
I guess, yeah, I'm usually on guard. I don't want to be taken advantage of, so...
Okay. To me, if somebody comes and says you had a great speech,
yeah,
I'll just take it at face value. Yeah, I did a great
mm-hmm.
speech.
Take it at face value.
I'll just take it at face value. But on the other side,
mm-hmm.
if they said you didn't do a good job and
mm-hmm.
this is what you need to improve,
mm-hmm.
I'll think in terms of, like, that's what I need to improve. It doesn't
right.
really affect me as a person.
Yeah. So another thing that I wanted to bring up a real life example of someone's greatest strengths being their greatest weaknesses.
Okay.
And this happened. I had a meeting last week and we were trying to decide if we want this businesswoman to enter our group and just be one of our associates. And she had on her resume, she had a long list of experience.
Okay.
Which to me, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, but the only issue was every place that she worked or every place that she volunteered, she was only there for about 6 months to a year.
Okay.
But I mean, when I say long list, I mean really long list.
How many? 3, 4 places?
Well, no, it was, I mean, more than 20. This list was lengthy.
More than 20. But how old is she? Maybe she's 60.
And no, well, no, she's like 30-something. Okay. Which, I mean, that's irrelevant. That's okay. But when I first looked at her resume, I viewed it as, wow, this is great. She has so much experience in all these different varieties of, I mean, different activities, different jobs, different places she's worked. And I really viewed it as a good thing. But the lady who was in charge of this committee said, you know, I really, I'm a little bit skeptical about this resume.
Okay.
And I said, really, why is that? And she said, well, I mean, this long list of different places that she's worked for, you know, she's never stayed anywhere longer than a year.
Okay.
I said, okay. And she said, you know what that shows me? That shows inconsistency.
Okay.
That shows that she moves around too much.
Okay.
And that really spoke to me, because that's when I realized, okay, I perceived something
mm-hmm.
as, you know, this positive, great thing. You know, this lady has a variety of just, you know, so many things that she's done, and it looks great, I think. But on the other hand, someone else viewed it as it was a weakness. It was a problem.
So she, according to her, she's supposed to stay in one place even if she doesn't like it?
So that's what brings up the question. I mean, how can we just take advantage of the positive things that we've done? And that's the biggest issue here. So for me, that looked like a perfect example of, okay, if I carry my resume around with me and I'm thinking, you know, this is awesome.
Yes.
I've got all these strengths. I've got all these wonderful things that I've done.
Uh-huh.
But to someone else, it looked like she was carrying around a bunch of things that were working against her. And so that's what I want to figure out here. I want to figure out, okay, what's the balance here? And you might be thinking, okay, well, how is that even connected to marriage? But I think it is connected to marriage, because there might be things that our spouse does,
mm-hmm.
and our spouse is thinking, you know, this is awesome. I have all this knowledge. I have all this experience in blah, 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 whatever it is. But the person they're married to might be thinking, oh my goodness, that's too much. They're going overboard with that thing, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's just an idea that I'm throwing out there.
You know, I don't know if it's Tim Ferriss who talked about this or somebody,
mm-hmm.
but there's something that our culture prefers
mm-hmm.
and looks up to, is like, how much can you put up with it? How can you suffer through it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much can you
mm-hmm.
go through the hardship? I really don't know what was wrong and why she was changing jobs or
mm-hmm.
changing the volunteer
mm-hmm.
Positions.
Well, that's irrelevant, really.
But your lady friend, to me, sounds like she values somebody who mm-hmm. can put up with it.
Who can stick with it.
Yes, and we call it experience. Somebody who has more experience.
Right, yeah. Right.
And that gets rewarded.
Yeah.
Yes. Somebody who can suffer through it gets rewarded more than somebody who is like, you know what, I don't want to put up with this.
Yeah.
I know that I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't like to do this even 5 years from now. So why don't I just cut the losses and move on?
So they don't mind searching until they find something that's a good fit.
Instead of, quote unquote, trying to have a great resume. And
mm-hmm.
I'm self-employed, so I really cannot speak to that. But
mm-hmm.
if somebody wants a job with me, I really don't care if mm-hmm. they have worked 5 places or 10 places.
Right.
It's literally...
It's the skills that they have.
It's the skills that they have.
Yeah.
And I'll put them through some tests. And if they can perform,
mm-hmm.
and if 6 months from now they don't think it's a good idea, it's not a good fit,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't want them mm-hmm. just to come here to work. They don't want to be here. It's not a good fit. And they're just putting up with it because of some sort of a magic number that, hey, if it gets to 1 year, now I'll be okay. And if it was less than 1 year.
You know, I think you just answered my question perfectly.
What
is it? I think, yeah, because my first question was, well, how does all this relate to marriage?
Yeah.
But it really, and it does. And my second question was, okay, well, how do we find that balance? How do we make it work?
Yes.
You know, regardless of what the other person is doing or has been doing. And the answer is clear now. You know, you look at your spouse and you say, you know what? They've got all these strengths. They've got all these characteristics, some good, some bad. But you know what? I can love this person.
Yeah.
There, you know what? I'm going to put all the judgment aside. If they love me, they're kind to me, we're able to run our household, take care of our kids, or maybe you don't have kids, but this person respects me. You know what? Regardless of their negative character traits, I'm going to focus on the positive and I'm just going to keep loving this person.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might sound a little bit too performance-based. But hey, that's another story for another day. I'll spare you that one. I won't get into that right now. But yeah, you just answered my question.
Yeah.
You said, you know what? If the job applicant comes in and they're capable of doing the work and they have a great attitude, why not? Why not have them around?
Yeah.
Regardless of how many places they've gone back and forth to, you know, that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
So, okay, it applies to marriage. You know what? If he's a great husband, if she's a great wife, you know what? That's what I'm gonna stick with it.
Now, I know there's some business owners out there and some people who are like, no. How somebody does one thing is how they'll do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are quote unquote always quitting, mm-hmm. that means they'll quit on me. So why do I need to have them here and they won't stay longer?
Right.
But and I understand the concept of the how much you have to train somebody and how much it's a drain to train somebody.
But you can give them the benefit of the doubt, right?
Yes, you can give them the benefit of the doubt. And again, if somebody is not engaged in your company, they don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see the idea that somebody comes every day, they don't want to be there. I've had jobs like that where I didn't want to be there. I literally had already fired myself in my brain already. I don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm literally going through the motions, doing the minimum that I need to do mm-hmm. just to get a paycheck. And that is not somebody who you want to hire. And if it means that you can retrain them, you can do whatever, but if they want to leave, I don't see why you should just force them to be there mm-hmm. just to get to that magic number of
mm-hmm.
1 year so that they can quote unquote be...
Say that they have the right amount of experience.
Okay, and to me, I'm older, so life is getting to a point where I just don't really need to put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might be younger and they feel like they have unlimited time.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just put up with something over and over and over and over just to have this magical number, which is maybe 1 year,
mm-hmm.
so that before they quote unquote quit, that doesn't bother me.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. You broke it down in a way that I was able to apply it to marriage. That's great. Yeah. That's great. It's wonderful. You can work with someone, husband, wife, employee, whatever, you can get along with someone, you know, regardless of their past.
Yeah.
Their past doesn't matter. Don't focus on that. Or
it's just, to me, what they bring to the table.
What they bring. There you go. The strengths they bring. There you go. You don't have to focus on the weaknesses.
And this might be very controversial, but hey.
All right. That is awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So just to recap, we can actually put more of our focus on the great things that our spouse brings to the table, as Pesa said it, and we can put an emphasis on just all of those lovely aspects of their character that we enjoy. Again, that doesn't mean you have to ignore a problem that comes up because of the the dark side, the quote-unquote dark side of someone's personality. But hey, let's not dwell on that.
Yes, let's not dwell on that. And also, just to recap also, let's just remember that the strength and weakness are the two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. So you'll never have the weakness without the strength. And some people who are more positive than me, they will always say, out of the cup is either half full or half empty. It's the same thing. It's either half full, half empty. So it's the strength or the weakness. It's the other side of the same coin.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that. All right. Again, folks, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can follow up with us. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shio. And you can find Pesa at Pesa Shio. You can also head on over to liveyourbestmarriage.com/blog if you'd like to read some more about some of these issues. And as always, you can like us on Facebook so that you can stay in touch and get all of the updates that we send out.
So folks, until next time, God bless and take care. And remember, every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling. Every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling.